Good evening to everyone. Let's take our Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21. One of the brothers prayed earlier about the service this evening that God would be pleased to speak to us from His Word. And if we get anything accomplished this evening, it'll be thus saith the Lord. 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21. I'm taking my text from verse 9. 1 Samuel 21, we begin reading at verse 8. We find David here on the run for his life out in the wilderness being pursued. He said, like a hunted bird, like a dead dog, pursued by old King Saul, his own father-in-law, but one who hated God and hated God's anointed David. 1 Samuel 21 verse 8, David said unto Ahimelech, Ahimelech was the priest of Nob, where David sought refuge, is there not yet here under thy hand spear or sword? For I've neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. Now the truth of the matter, David left town so quickly that he could not take any provisions nor any defensive weapon to defend himself. Verse 9, and the priest said back unto David, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou will, take that. Take that. Take it. If thou will, take it. Take that. For there is no other save that here. That is, the priest is saying, I have just one sword. It's the sword that you use to remove Goliath's head. And here's what David said back. David said, and here's the title of the message, there is none like that. There's none like that sword. There's none like that sword. Then David says, you give that to me. Give that sword to me. I know something about that sword. I've made good use of that sword in the past, and there's none like that sword. Let me have that one. Let me have that one. Now, David, being warned by his dear friend Jonathan of Saul's evil intentions against him to put him to death, David flees for his life. He flees in haste. He takes no food. He takes no weapon. But he flees to a place that he thinks he might find refuge, to the priest of God. Ahimelech's his name, and he lives in this city of Nob. But even in this fleeing to the priest, David, a man after God's own heart, David, a picture of a believer, even in this fleeing to the priest of God, we have in this a picture of a sinner fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge. And the Lord says unto us over in the book of Hebrew, don't turn, let me just get it for you and read it to you, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And the Lord said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord Jesus Christ is our sure refuge, our only hope. Our Lord again speaks in Matthew 11. He said, come unto me and rest. Come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, he said, come and drink. Come and drink without price. Come and drink freely. David, in this story, you can read over 1 Samuel 21. David does receive bread, that special show bread, and he does receive a sword from the priest of God. But we know even in this, we have a picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ is our bread. He is the bread of life. He is the bread that every believer desires to devour and consume. We hunger for this bread. Christ is our bread, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our defense. The Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge, is He not? Do we have any other place to hide but in Christ Himself? When David here inquired about a weapon, he was told there was no weapon but this sword that belonged to this giant Philistine. You remember the story how David killed Goliath with that single stone in a sling. David used this sword after he had killed Goliath with that smooth stone. He used that sword to remove the head of Goliath. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Along about verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in David's hand. So what does he do? Verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. David used this sword to remove Goliath's head. David, remembering the victory over this enemy of Israel, an enemy of God, said, "There is none like that sword. There is none like that one. Give that sword to me. Give it to me. Give it to me." Every believer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can respond with similar words. There is no gospel like the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give that gospel to me. Not another. Not another gospel that Paul writes about in Galatians 1 that is not the gospel. Give me that gospel of God's free and sovereign grace revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, of which Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth." There is no gospel like that gospel of Christ, that the power of God. Give that gospel to me. Tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no God like our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no message like the gospel message of Christ and Him crucified. Give that to me. Give that. Don't give me your experience. Don't give me how you're feeling today. Don't give me your hard luck story. Give me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give it to me that I may rejoice in Christ Jesus. Give that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to me. Tell me about Him, who He is, and what He has done. May we all be determined to hear nothing and to preach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified alone as all of our hope of salvation. You know, over the years I've been trying to preach the gospel, about 30 years now, I've never heard a believer complain that we preach Christ too often. Now notice how I phrase that. I've never heard a believer complain that we preach Christ too often, or exalted Him too highly, or that we gave Him too much honor and glory. I'd like to be guilty of that, of giving the Lord Jesus Christ all the honor and glory that is due unto His name. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is not that the reason that we're here this evening? You remember what Cornelius said to Peter when Peter came to his house to tell this Gentile the gospel message of Christ? He said, Cornelius said to Peter, we're all here to hear the things commanded thee of God. We want to hear what God commanded you concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that why we're here? You don't want to hear about me, my story, my background, where I came from. You're not interested in those things. You want to hear about Christ. And I want to tell you about Him, because there's none like the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a pleasure and delight to talk about one you love, isn't it? I love to talk about my blessed Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to take this phrase that we find here in 1 Samuel 21. There is none like that. Give it to me. And I want to bring you a 5-point message on there's none like that. Give it to me. Now, 5 things. We could easily have 50 things in regard to the gospel, but I'm going to limit myself to 5 things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that we find revealed in Him. First of all, in regards to the holy, inspired Word of God, there is none like that. Is there? There's none like the Word of God, the Scripture, the Bible. There's none like that. Give it to me. Preach the Word. Preach Christ from the Word to me. Now let's find in the Scripture. I'll have you turn to this. Let's find 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In regards to the holy inspired Word of God, there is none like that. Give it to me. The Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit, isn't it? The Word of God is called quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. There's none like that Word of God. Give me that Word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Given by who? Given by what? Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, how God can be just and the justifier, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, good things. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at the appearing of His kingdom, preach the word. You see, it's God-inspired, God-given. The prophets of old, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, when they came speaking, thus saith the Lord, give me the word, there is none like that. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Preach the word unto me, who tells us the written word, inspired word, tells us about the word, the incarnate word, the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now consider for a moment who the author of this word of God is. Well, I've just answered the question. It is the word of God. Who is the author? All Scripture is God-breathed. Peter writes it, puts it this way, holy men spake as they were moved by God, the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given of God. He's the author of this book, the author of the Word. Now consider the subject of this book. What would you say the subject of this book is? There's one author who writes about one subject, and the subject of this whole book is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the subject of this book. It's all about Him. Remember in Luke chapter 24, He says to those two men on the road to Emmaus as He preaches the gospel unto them, and the Lord says, beginning of Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them the things and all the scriptures from the prophet concerning
himself, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You remember from reading John chapter 5, our Lord said to those Pharisees, you are they which search the scriptures, and they did. But our Lord said, you missed the message. You are they that search the scriptures, they are they that testify of me. In the book of Acts chapter 10, Peter again, when he's preaching to Cornelius, declares to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, give all the prophets witness. They all talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone's coming. Someone's coming. God's Lamb, God's Messiah. Consider something else about this Word of God, not only the author of it, the subject of it, but consider the effects of the Word of God preached unto God's elect when it's blessed by God the Holy Spirit. It has no profound and everlasting permanent effect upon God's people when it preached to the power of God the Holy Spirit, and when he takes it and blesses it to our heart in the power of the Spirit, it has a lasting effect upon us. Jeremiah said his word like a hammer that breaks the rock. The hard-hearted sinner is broken by the word of God when it's preached and blessed of God the Holy Spirit. Paul, when he writes to the Thessalonians, said, brethren, we know your election is of God, because our gospel came not unto you in word only, it came in power. It had an effect, a lasting effect. You became followers of the Lord, and it caused you to turn to God from your idols and dead works. That's what the gospel, it causes you to turn unto him, doesn't it? And it draws you to him. Now consider this. Consider the effects of the Word of God preached. It's soul quickening, isn't it? It's soul quickening. Of his own will begat he us with what? The Word of truth. It is soul quickening. Born again by the Word of God. It is heartwarming, isn't it? You remember what those two men said in Luke 24 after the Lord opened unto them and preached unto them the gospel. You remember what they said? Didn't our heart burn within us when he opened unto us the word of the Lord? You see, it's soul quickening. It's heart warming. David writes in Psalm 119, it's a guide and light unto our feet. It's a lamp. It's a guide unto us. It is the children's bread. They desire the sincere milk of the word that they might grow thereby. You see, there's nothing like God's Word. Every believer can say, isn't this your heart cry this evening? Every believer can say, give me the Word of God, the Word of truth, the gospel of Christ, that I might learn of him. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Give me the Word of God, the gospel of Christ, that I may have faith in him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Word of truth. Give me the Word that I may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's none like that, is there? Where's the books you've read thousands and thousands of times? They don't exist. But we read God's Word over and over and over again, and it's ever new unto us. It's ever fresh, and it's never stale and old. It's ever new. Give me that word that I might rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's final farewell to those elders at Ephesus recorded in Acts chapter 20. Remember? He said this, we commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. There's none like God's holy, inspired word, is there? Let's make much of the word. I love the way the services are conducted here. Back in this study, we read from James chapter 4. Out here, Lindsay read from Philippians chapter 1. And now we're going again through the word of God. Let us make much of the word of God. You can't overdo it. There's none like that. Give me that word of God. Secondly, in regards to God's salvation, turn to the book of Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts chapter 4. In regards to God's salvation, can't we say that? There is none like that salvation because He's the only God, our Savior. In regard to salvation, there is none like that. Give me that salvation. That's the only salvation that really saves sinners, isn't it? He's the only Savior who is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, this is Peter and John, I believe it is, before the Pharisees who were examining them. Verse 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him, doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone, the rock, the foundation which was set at naught of you builders. They said, away with Him, crucify Him. We have no king but Caesar, which has become the head of the corner. He's the chief cornerstone. He's that foundation that God has laid. Now watch it, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved in Him. There is no Savior like Him. Therefore, there is no salvation like salvation we have from Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. There is none like that. Can't you say in your heart, give that to me? I want that salvation. I don't want something by works and tradition and ceremony. Give me that salvation by the free and sovereign grace of God. The salvation, the whole of salvation is totally of the Lord, Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior. As Paul writes to Timothy, as he sits on death row in a Roman dungeon, and he writes his last words to him, said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me or the gospel, for it's God who saved us. It's God who has called us with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to God's own purpose and grace, given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Give that salvation to me. Isn't that what you need? What do real sinners need? And that's me. I tell you what real sinners need. They need salvation, don't they? They need a Savior who really is able to save to the uttermost. We don't need a Savior who wants to and He can't, who tried and failed. We don't need any kind of a peanut Savior. We need the Savior who is almighty to save, who's the almighty God, the one who God has given power over all flesh, that He should give salvation to as many as the Father hath given to Him. You see, there's none like that salvation, is there? Can't you say in your heart, Lord, give me that Savior? Give me the Lord Jesus Christ. This salvation was purposed from all eternity, wasn't it? We read about the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This salvation in time was purchased with the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought us with His own blood. Acts chapter 20, God bought the church with His own blood. You reckon He's going to lose that for which He bought? Is He going to lose any of His sheep, those for whom He died, those for whom He shed His blood? Absolutely not. He said, I will not lose one of my sheep. You see, this is the salvation and the Savior who really saves His people from their sin. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. You see, He purposed this salvation from eternity. He purchased it with His own blood. And He performed the applying of it to whom He will.
Lindsay read that verse a moment ago from Philippians chapter 1. Being confident of this very thing, that God, who hath begun a good work in you, He'll finish it. That which begins in grace, write this down. I read this somewhere. That which begins in grace will end in glory. He never leaves a work undone. He said, it is finished. It is done. He will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. That's true. But my friend, He will have mercy on His people. You see, there's no salvation like this salvation. There's none like that. That's the one I need. Give me the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this, there's no other sacrifice for sin, is there? Is there any other sacrifice for sin revealed in God's Word? We're not redeemed with corruptible things, are we? But with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other sacrifice for sin, for He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. For He obtained, our great high priest, obtained for us eternal redemption with His own blood. He did it. You see, there's only one sacrifice for sin. There is no other justifying righteousness but that which is through the faithful obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The one the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 that he counted everything else, dung, loss, and ruin, that he may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, he said, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness. Notice he didn't say my faithfulness, but through the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. You see, there is no other salvation like we see. He's the only salvation revealed in God's Word. There is none like that. Give it to me. There's no other way of reconciliation. There's no other way of regeneration. There's no other way of righteousness being established. There's no other way of redemption but in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just but one mediator. Is that right? Just one mediator between God and man, and that's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling us unto Himself. For He had made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There is no salvation like that salvation. Give it to me. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need Him all the time. There's none like that salvation. Give it to me. Give it to me that I may be justified before God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give it to me that I may be found in Him without blame, holy, unblameable, spotless in His sight. Give it to me. I need that salvation. Give it to me that I may be accepted in the Beloved. Give that salvation to me that I may rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ now and forever. You see, there's none like that, is there? Regarding His Word, there's none like that. Regarding salvation, there's none like that. Thirdly, here's the third thing. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In regard to God's love revealed and made known in Christ, there is none like that, is there? Like His love? Saving love, sacrificial love, electing love, drawing love, wooing love. There's none like that. Give it to me. Look at verse 32, Romans 8. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, who shall separate us from this love of Christ? Come on now. Who? Tribulation? You know anything about tribulation? That won't separate you from the love of God. Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. There's no love like his love for us. Give that love to me. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities or powers, nor things present nor things to come. How about height, depth? Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, from his love of God, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no love like his love. Give that to me. Give that to me. You see, it's electing love, isn't it? Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. It's electing love. It's sacrificial love. Here it is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. It's drawing love, isn't it? Remember Jeremiah 31? He said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I'll draw you unto myself. It's glorifying love, isn't it? We read in Revelation 1, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin, to him be all the honor and glory both now and forever. And it's adopting love, isn't it? We're adopted into his family. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. This sinner, adopted, made a son of God, called in love with an everlasting love. There's none like that love of God in Christ, is there? Oh, give that to me. Give me that love of God of which there is no separation. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. None will perish. Now listen to me. None will perish for whom the Lord Jesus Christ loves. Will they? Can they? They'll all be brought to love him. We love him because he first loves us. I don't want anything to do with a love that is a failure. And this love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot fail because he cannot fail. Said that in Isaiah 42, doesn't it? He shall not fail. There's nobody in hell for whom the Lord Jesus Christ loves. There's nobody in hell for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. I despise that teaching that says God universally loves all men everywhere and yet some men wind up in hell anyway. What kind of love is that? That's no love at all, is it? I love that sovereign love, that special love, that saving love, that drawing love, that everlasting love that never will be never separated from. Cannot be. He said, I give my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. They cannot perish. He loves them and saves us in everlasting love. This love of Christ never fails. It cannot fail. It's saving love, isn't it? Give me that love. There's none like it. There's none like that love. Give that to me that I may love him and bow to him and worship him in my heart. In regards to saving faith, let's find 2 Peter chapter 1. In regards to saving faith now, I'm not talking about traditional faith, historical faith. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about the faith of God's elect, saving faith. There's none like that. There's none like that faith. It's the gift of God, isn't it?
None of works that any man should boast. There's none like that, saving faith. Lord, give me faith. We read in the book of Hebrews, without faith it is impossible to please God. Lord, give me faith in Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. There it is. They've obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Faith is called precious. It's obtained with the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Precious faith. There is none like this faith given of God. Give me that faith. I don't have it by nature. Do you? Not a product of the flesh, is it? It's the supernatural gift of God. There's none like that faith of God's elect. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. A man without saving faith is a man without Christ. A man without Christ is a man without salvation. Faith, we know, is a gift of God. Faith, we know, is obtained through the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith has one saving object. Faith, saving faith has one object. Saving faith doesn't look in here. Saving faith looks back to the giver of faith. Looking unto Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the author and finisher of faith. Saving faith looks back to the one who gave it. Doesn't it? Unto Christ, exalted God our Savior. Faith believes and loves and acknowledges the truth. The truth of who he is, the truth of salvation by his grace, the truth of that glorifies God in all things. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Can't you say in your heart about saving faith, God-honoring faith, give it to me. There's none like that. Lord, give me faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that I may honor him and worship him. Give it to me that I may please God being united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me that saving faith that I may lay hold on Christ alone. One old writer said, saving faith is a hand that reaches. Saving faith is a feet that run. Saving faith is the arms that embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give me that saving faith. Give me faith that I may lay hold on Christ. Give me faith that I may be justified in Christ Jesus. Give me faith that I may win Christ and be found in him. Lord, give me saving faith that I might believe thee. You know, saving faith honors him. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God. Saving faith honors Christ. Believes him, loves him, embraces him. Lord, give me that saving faith in Christ. There is none like that. Lastly, in regards to the hope we have in Christ Jesus, it's a good hope. Let's see if we can find a scripture that might help us some on that regard. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 13. In regards to our hope is just not a shot in the dark. Our hope is not some wish. Our hope is a good hope. It's a good hope that has a foundation based upon thus saith the Lord. Let's read about it. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound. You got it? 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. There's the new birth, which leads to belief of the truth,
whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions, and that word can be rendered truth. Hold to the truth you've been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, who hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation, everlasting comfort, and a good hope, here it is, a good hope through grace. Now, we read in Scripture, stay right here, and look right across the page, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. You see, our hope we have in Christ is a person. Is a person. Christ in you is the hope of glory, isn't it? I look right across the page here. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the two words there, which is, leave them out because they've been added. Read it this way. By the commandment of God our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and our Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Christ is our hope. You see, salvation's in a person, isn't it? It's all wrapped up in a person. It's Christ. It's who he is. God our Savior. Every believer has a good hope through grace. 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 Grace of God alone. Christ in you. The hope of glory. You remember what Peter said on that first Bible conference, I call it, in Acts chapter 15, where they had a discussion about circumcision, salvation by grace alone, or combination of grace and works. And Peter stood up and said, we believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we shall be saved even as those others. Grace, grace, and grace alone. Our hope of salvation is based upon the eternal, unchanging promise of God. Aren't you glad that the exceeding great and precious promises of God never change? What was true 10 million years ago, or what was true in eternity, from eternity, is always... You know, truth, think about truth. You know, lies always change. You ever notice that? Lies always change. False religion is full of lies, and it always changes. It always changes. Truth never changes. The Lord said, I'm the Lord, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Truth never needs updated. Truth is always the same. Our Lord said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes unto the Father but by and through me. This was David's hope of salvation. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's looking to a person. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Our hope is of salvation is not a mere wish, a shot in the dark. It's a blessed person. The Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. There's no other hope as this hope. Lord, can't you say that in your heart tonight? Lord, give me that hope. Give me that hope of salvation in Christ alone. We read about him being the hope and anchor of our soul. Two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. Talks about our Lord Jesus Christ, who has entered in as our forerunner. When he by himself purged our sin, he entered into glory and he sat down. He sat down, the work being finished. Our great high priest has finished salvation for us. The hope we have in Christ is the joy of our heart. Paul, writing in Philippians 3, said, we're the true Israel, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus. What's the rest of that? And we have no confidence. I know what the rest of it is. I just want to see if you're listening.
We have no confidence in this flesh. You see, our hope is in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had a radio program up in the mountains of East Kentucky for, going on 17, 18 years. And when I first started, I always would close the radio program with this saying, these words: with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is endless hope. Without Him, there is hopeless end. In the Lord, we have an endless hope. It's an eternal hope. But without Him, it's a hopeless end. There's none like that hope we have in Christ. Give it to me. Summing this all up, when you get right down to the bottom line, it's this: give me Christ. It's all summed up in Him. Give me Christ. Christ is all and in all. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we stand complete. Lord, give me Yourself. Let me be found in You. John writes, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. God the Son. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God does not have life. And we know that the Son of God has come, and He's given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we're in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. There is no other salvation but in Christ alone. You remember that title now? There's none like that. There's none like that. Give it to me. Give me Christ, lest I die. May God bless you. Thank you.